In the southern Iraqi city of Najaf, U.S. commanders brought their offensive operations to a halt today. For more than a week, Marines and Iraqi security forces have seen intense battles with Shiite militiamen loyal to radical cleric Muqtada al-Sadr. The delegation from the Iraqi interim government has been holding talks with Sadr and his aides, hoping to negotiate a formal ceasefire. NPR's Ivan Watson is at a U.S. military base in Najaf.
American tanks and Humvees ground through the dust and heat of this base on their way to patrol the streets of Najaf. But today, that was all the U.S. military did here. For the first time in more than a week, American troops and their allies in the Iraqi security forces did not clash with Muqtada al-Sadr's militia, known as the Mahdi Army. Major David Holohan of the U.S. Marines said his men had orders not to attack.
Today, we don't want to instigate, provoke, attack, inflict any more damage as a sign of good faith.
The reason: a delegation from Iraq's interim government was in Najaf holding talks with Sadr's aides. This despite statements from Sadr's spokesman that the cleric had been wounded in an attack that they said took place before today's truce. Iraqi officials denied that Sadr was hurt and said he was involved in the negotiations. At sundown this evening, Sheikh Ali Smaisim, one of Sadr's lieutenants, issued the following statement.
Sayyid Muqtada Sadr, a'azzahu Allah, an tuhal al-azama bin niqat al-atiyah.
Mr. Sadr sees that the problem could be solved through the following points. 1. Withdraw all the occupation forces from Najaf.
Sadr's demands also include amnesty for his fighters, the right to participate in the political process, and that control of Najaf and its holy sites be handed over to the elderly Shiite religious scholars known collectively as the Hausa. In return, said Sheikh Smaisim, the Mahdi army would pull out of the city. The first reaction from Iraq's U.S.-backed government was positive. Minister of State Adnan al-Janabi said he hoped Sadr's movement would participate in an Iraqi national conference, which is scheduled to begin in Baghdad on Sunday with the participation of a senior United Nations envoy.
The UN representative met with the Iraqi Prime Minister, and he asked about the possibility of involving al-Sadr in the political process, and we said he's most welcome, along with any other people who want to be involved in politics.
Last week, as U.S. forces fought pitched battles with Sadr's supporters, sometimes hand-to-hand, in Najaf's ancient cemetery and winding streets, Prime Minister Iyad Alawi offered Sadr the chance to participate in future elections, provided he distanced himself from the fighters who were holed up in Najaf's Imam Ali Shrine, one of the holiest sites in Shiite Islam. But Sadr swore to fight to the death. Meanwhile, Alawi has come under growing pressure to bring an end to the confrontation. In Baghdad alone, more than 10,000 Sadr supporters staged a peaceful sit-in denouncing Alawi and the United States. Top officials in Alawi's cabinet and senior Shiite religious leaders also called for a peaceful resolution, while some political parties threatened to boycott the upcoming national conference in protest over the fighting. Here in Najaf, American military commanders say if a deal is reached between the Iraqi government and Sadr, they're obliged to observe the ceasefire, but they won't like it. Again, U.S. Marine Major David Holohan.
My personal and my professional belief is that the militia have no intentions of adhering to any kind of altruistic motives in a ceasefire. They will use every opportunity they can to gain an advantage on us, but they really have none.
Holohan is speaking from experience. The U.S. military agreed to a ceasefire with Sadr last spring, after the cleric led a bloody uprising against the U.S. occupation. When that truce collapsed last week, commanders here say Sadr's militia was stronger, better trained, and better equipped than the first time. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Najaf.